Well, this morning we're going to talk about a topic that is, well, a little uncomfortable for some folks. It's spiders. It's that time of the year when they're looking to stay warm, too, and sometimes we're sharing space with them. May not want to, but we are. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Zach Shum is with us. He's an insect diagnostician with the Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic at Iowa State University, and he specializes in these types of things. Zach, how are you today?
Not too bad. How's it going?
Good, good. Why do we have this innate fear of spiders?
That's a very good question. Realistically, I don't have a perfect answer for it. Some of it is definitely learned fear. So, you know, for me, getting my original spider fear, I don't fear them anymore. But when I did when I was younger, it was because my parents basically taught me to be afraid of them. So, you know, my mom would always ask my dad to walk around and kill all the spiders that were making webs on the front porch, back porch, wherever, and I was always told that they like to bite or they can bite, and that just made me naturally fearful of them. And then I think when we're reading books as kids and gaining information from TV and media, we're learning that things like, oh, black widow spiders have a deadly bite. Don't ever touch one of those. And the very first black widow spider I found, I killed because I thought that they were deadly and I thought that it was going to come after me. And after a while, not to jump too far ahead, but I learned that stuff is simply not true.
So really, a lot of our fear comes from just the unknown.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I always tell people that we tend to be a little bit more fearful of the things that we don't understand quite well. So the more that I understood spiders, the more I learned about them. And to add on to that, I've always loved insects, but I was fearful of spiders as a young kid. And the more I learned about them, the more I realized that there wasn't that much to be afraid of. And to add on to the point earlier, there's some possibilities that there's some innate or some like genetic fear of venomous creatures. It could be snakes. It could be spiders. I don't know too much about that field, but that could be another explanation or possible explanation for fears. But I seem to think that most of the fear of spiders is learned, not something that's embedded in us.
Well, this time of the year, it seems like we actually encounter them just a little bit more. We see some of those spiders that do the webbing out in grass areas this time of the year. But they're also, it's getting colder outside, and they're like us. They like the warmth, and they like to share the space with us, I guess, because it's warm inside, and we run into them a lot more. So, gosh, when we see these things, what should we do?
Most of the time, I recommend to folks to just simply ignore them. You know, folks are welcome to catch and release back outside, but it's likely that if they have access to your house in some shape or form, they're going to find their way back inside. Maybe not that same exact spider, but other ones can certainly come in. So what I usually recommend to people, instead of contacting out a pest control company to come spray your house, if you want to prevent spiders and other things from coming inside your house, it's probably best to just seal up your house as best as you can, put on new window screens and add new door thresholds. And of course, in the winter, that could end up saving you some money on electric bills too, or heat bills. So that's always a good option. I mean, I've never once recommended to spray for spiders because it doesn't really solve the problem long term. You could kill some spiders and take care of some spiders. I also don't really recommend that because spiders are really beneficial, but it's not going to solve the problem long term. So seal up your house the best you can, seal all possible entry points. And if they do make it inside, I usually just tell people to simply ignore them. I mean, they're not aggressive. I've never really seen an aggressive spider in the U.S., not that there aren't some out there that are a little bit more aggressive than others, but they're really not out to hurt us. They're just trying to stay warm just like we are in the winter.
Well, and it's unlikely that they walk through the door with us. They could possibly hitch a ride on your clothing or something. That's always a thing. But yeah, they find the way in, and once they do, they can find it back again. But the spiders that we see in our homes typically they're not poisonous. They're not venomous. What types of spiders do we usually see?
So I would say that the most, and I talk to people about this all the time, there's so many species of spiders out there. I mean, there's thousands of them worldwide and thousands of them in North America, most likely. And, you know, that means there's hundreds of them that we could find on, you know, throughout Iowa, throughout the Midwest pretty easily. But we only tend to see a few groups that are groups of spiders or types of spiders that come into our homes. Those can be wolf spiders. They can be cellar spiders. They can be grass spiders. And jumping spiders. I think those are probably the most common we see, but certainly there are many other types of spiders that can come indoors as well.
Well, this time of the year, as we head toward Halloween, we see and hear a lot about spiders, not in a good way necessarily. Everyone's trying to scare everyone, and that may play into some
right.
of that common fear that we have too. But also, you know, when we do see some of those up-close pictures and things, they're pretty menacing looking.
They can be. I spend a lot of time looking at spiders and other insects under microscopes. after a while, I learned that I think that they look kind of cool when they're when you're really close up to them. But certainly that could just be a bias that I have from being an entomologist. But they can look a little bit menacing. But, you know, behind all of that, sometimes they're just fluffy little eight-legged critters that like to just run around and hide in our houses. And there's really not much to be concerned about. But that, of course, takes time to look at them and observe them more frequently and more often to learn that they're not so scary. But certainly some people do just think that they look creepy.
Yeah, most of the time when they bite, it's because they're eating, right?
Yeah, so they only really like to use their venom and, like, bite their food. That's how they, you know, obviously, like every other creature that or animal or anything in the animal kingdom, that's how they generally eat and get energy. They can bite humans if they feel threatened, though, or they can bite things that they perceive as a threat, but it's quite uncommon. Most spiders are just going to run away before they try to bite, and a lot of spiders, when they do bite, they can also do something called dry bite, wherein they will bite you, but they don't actually inject any venom. So it takes a lot, or it takes some really bad luck in order to actually receive venom from a spider. And because not many of them in the area are medically significant, there's really hardly ever serious run-ins with spiders in North America as a whole, but especially from the Midwest where I'm calling from.
Well, and here in the Midwest, the upper Midwest too, we don't really see a lot of venomous spiders. There are a few that can be interesting. The black widows, I think the brown recluse have been found here at different times, but even those, they're not very populous around here.
They really aren't. And we get a lot of suspected black widows and brown recluses in the clinic here. So people will send photos suspecting that they found a brown recluse or a black widow. And it's true, you can find them here, but most of the time, not all the time, they're misidentified and they're actually some other type of spider. That is really no cause for concern. You could argue that black widows and brown recluses are more medically significant than others, and that's true. But, you know, because they're so uncommon in Iowa, and the rest of the Midwest and upper Midwest, there's really not much to worry about.
Is there ever a time when we do feel we've been bit by a spider, we see something and think, man, that might be a spider bite? Is there any particular time where we maybe should seek any medical assistance?
Well, what we usually tell individuals is that if you have received a spider bite or any sort of medical issue that you are, you know, experiencing symptoms that are negative and you think you should seek medical attention, then that's enough reason to go do it. One really interesting thing about spider bites and spiders in general is that a lot of infections and a lot of just other suspected spider bites, they tend to be from something else that just accidentally gets diagnosed as a spider bite. And I'm no medical expert, certainly, but, you know, infections from spider bites and infections from other things are often treated in very similar ways. And I think a lot of times spiders get the blame for that, when in actuality, it's something else. And to add on to the spider point there, too, a lot of times if you do receive a spider bite and you have medical complications, it's because the bite wound became infected, not because the venom is actually harming you, which is a really important distinction to make.
Is there any danger to pets?
There can be some dangers to pets, just like humans. You know, they can get also bacterial infections, and venom from medically significant spiders can impact them, the same as us. And anybody, any person or any pet can also have allergic reactions to specific spiders, which is quite uncommon, but still possible. So you could get bit by any spider, or you could even get bit by any insect and have, you know, or stinging is a classic example. If you get stung by an insect, if you're allergic to it, you're going to have a problem with it, whether or not it's considered a medically significant species. So those things are possible, but again, it's quite uncommon.
Yeah, most times when you do encounter a spider, whether it be crawling up a wall or somewhere else, they usually kind of just stay still. And if you do anything to try to approach them, it's not like they're going to come jumping at you. They usually are trying to scurry for cover.
Exactly. And, case in point, I try to capture them just to observe them when I find them, because I absolutely love spiders now. And they do. They just try to run away. I mean, I think a lot of the times when people have unfortunate run-ins, it's, you know, the case where one decided to hide in a shoe on a cool night, or maybe you sat on the couch and there was one in the crevice of the couch. I mean, these things are uncommon, certainly. But that's usually when people tend to have accidental bites. But yeah, most of the time they're just trying to run away. They don't want to have anything to do with us.
You bet. So if we do see some of this activity in our homes, we should just try to mitigate that and not try to eliminate it.
Exactly. I mean, I always recommend just tolerating them. You know, if you really are fearful of spiders, you can catch and release. And we certainly don't judge people for just treating the spider to the bottom of the shoe, but that doesn't really, it doesn't really help anybody, right? It's killing a otherwise beneficial organism. And also it doesn't really help us get over our fears of spiders in the first place. And, you know, again, none of these are, it's so, so highly unlikely that any spider that you find in your home in Iowa and anywhere in the Midwest, unless you tend to go further south where brown recluse are a little bit more common, you know, it's so unlikely that you're going to have any negative complications from a spider in your home. And what I always tell folks is there's always more present than what you actually see. So you're always living in and around spiders. We just tend to see a little bit more of them in the fall because there's more of them trying to come in for warmth. So there's more out there than you see, for sure.
Yeah, you bet. Well, they're always around. We share our lives with plenty of other critters. It's just whether
exactly.
or not we actually are aware of those. So, yep, no problem. Very good. And I guess we should stop spreading those false rumors and stuff too about how evil spiders are.
It really is true. And you know, one thing that I always some factoids that I like to share is that, you know, black widow spider bites, like the amount of deaths and serious complications from those is very, very, very small. In fact, I don't even know when the last confirmed serious medical complication, I'm going to use the term death. I mean, deaths from black widow spider bites are almost undocumented, which is, everyone thinks that black widow spiders, if you get bit, you're going to die. And that is simply not true. If you're very healthy and you're not an infant or someone that's elderly, or you have other medical complications, you're going to have a bad day potentially, but you're probably going to be just fine. So serious medical complications from black widow spider bites, very, very uncommon. So why be so fearful of them, you know?
Absolutely. And as you said earlier, they do perform a service to us as well. They keep some of the other critters out too. So we do have a reason to share our space. Very good. Zach, thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate it. And thank you so much. It's an interesting topic that we don't talk about much.
Definitely. We don't talk about it enough, so thanks for having me.